Let's all do the Spanish flea, everybody. Herb Alpert and all that. All right, week number 8. Am I right, girls?
That's right.
Week number 8. Oh, my God. Week number 8. Time is just flying by. We're in Spain. Well, we're going to pretend like we're in Spain or whatever. Anyway, welcome back, everybody, to the Culture of Pop's Bachelorette Recap on the DVDMarquee.com. And a lot of you guys are wondering, what in the ever-loving world is this doing on the DVDMarquee.com? But a quick explanation. You've heard this before, but for new listeners out there who may be wondering the connection or whatever, I'm doing this show on my website, thedvdmarquee.com, because we still have a website in development for the Culture of Pop, but I just could not wait. The show has been so much fun this summer. Very interesting, that's an understatement, episode this past week, and we're going to talk about that with my two good buddies along for the ride. They are from the beautybroads.com. We're doing this live, folks, off the top of my head here, and they also have a podcast of their own called Celebrity Side Dish. podcast.com. We're actually just a celebrity side dish, right, girls?
Yeah, it's we're part of the Beauty Broads website. So you go to beautybroads.com and click on our faces there. And we don't have our own page itself, our own website itself.
Yeah, and
we can be Booty Broads. That's okay.
Booty Broads, yeah, yeah. That was my favorite Rick James song, by the way. Anyway, Dina and Lisa, along for the ride again. I'm just riding shotgun. Girls, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Jeffrey?
Doing pretty good. Lisa, how about you?
I am wonderful. Thanks for caring.
My pleasure. It's a Southern thing. It's a Southern kind of thing. But anyway, man, we're so drunk. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. We were just talking about that before we went on the air here. But, you know, we're not drunk. We're completely, you know, and we're going to be walking the straight line by the cop and keeping ourselves out of trouble. But anyway, let's go ahead and I have an interesting question to start things off this week before we kind of get into the festivities and what happened in the episode this week. I have a roommate who's a dear, dear friend of mine, and we work together in television, and we were sitting in front of the telly on Monday night, and, you know, we agree on 99.9% of everything except certain reality shows. And just he just hates this show. And I was kind of giving him a Cliff Notes version of what was going on with some of the storylines and what have you. And, you know, eventually we talked about good old Wes. And he was going, you know, oh, why is she being this way toward this guy? She's kissing, you know, in the upwards of about 25 to 30 guys or whatever. And it just made me think, so... what about you, girls? I mean, if you were in this kind of situation, would you be like a kid in a candy store or whatever? I mean, I know you both are married and everything, but just, you know, for the sake of pretending, let's pretend you're both single and whatever. What about that?
If you think about it, it's really a weird way to find love. I've sat and watched it and thought, this is really pretty crazy to do this. But apparently it works because Trista and Ryan, I believe, have been married for a few years now and have kids. So it can actually work if you go in with the right attitude. I'm not sure I could really be myself on camera, except with Ed. I would have gone, you know, would go in a fantasy suite and shut the door as long as the camera wasn't in there. So I think I could find love that way. What about you, Lisa?
I don't, even with the cameras not involved, I just can't imagine sitting in a hot tub with 10 guys. So I can't imagine it. Even pretending I'm not married, I can't even imagine it.
Well, you know, I've been in TV and radio for, you know, going on 25 years now, 25 years this summer, as a matter of fact, and I just, you know, even though I have been in front of the camera and I've spoken in front of thousands of people and all that, basically, it takes me a little while when I meet somebody to kind of get out of that shy guy mode. I retreat back to, you know, when I was a kid, back in high school or junior high or whatever. But I got to tell you, I mean, this whole bachelor slash bachelorette deal, this is like the greatest combination of spin the bottle, post office, and what else am I looking for? It's like a kid in a candy store. You know, I mean, yeah. You know, if you're going to tell me, hey, you can have your pick of these 25 girls for right now, get to know them and kiss them, you know, I'm going to go, where do I slide up, man?
Well, that's the difference, Jeffrey. It's the difference between a man and a woman's attitude. Just like Jason, who was the Bachelor before this season of The Bachelorette, he did not hesitate to make out with anybody, whether he was even interested in him or not, whereas a woman is just not going to be that way. It's just totally different.
There has to be a connection, and with guys, there doesn't have to be a connection.
Well, you know, I say that, and then let me kind of backtrack here. I'm not trying to make excuses or anything like that, but I will say this. I could not juggle two women. I could not be a Wes, because when it comes down to it, yeah, the flirting, the introductory part of this whole process, you know, you get to play kissy, 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 and, you know, I look at it this way. It's like, you know, if you don't have a variety to choose from, if you don't date around, speed dating, that's what I was looking for. Spin the bottle, post office, and speed dating at 78 RPM, you know. It's like, if I'm given a chance to do this, great. But after about maybe a day or two, I'm going to start feeling really, really strange. And maybe I'm an exception to the norm, but that's just me, you know. I want to connect with somebody in an emotional way, get to know them, have some one-on-one time with them, you know. And just, I don't see how these girls or guys that have participated in this show sort things out, because you've got so many one-on-one requests, in other words, you know. I mean, you're just going nuts, and some guys get it and some guys don't. Same on the other side. And I just don't know if I could take it, you know. I mean, if this were a process of where we started out with just four really, really good girls, you know, it would probably be a lot more comfortable for me. But, you know, 25 to 30, oh my God. I mean, it's just insane. But I'm not going to say I won't enjoy it for the first couple of days of shooting. I'll put it that way. But anyway, I just found that kind of interesting. So, think about the
germs, too. I mean, there's like, I think 500 different germs in the human mouth or something.
Yeah, I know. You know, we go into that Howie Mandel fist bump mode. Yeah, hey, dude, you know. But anyway, before we get back into the episode at hand here, guys, I want to tell you, I made a nice little discovery. Actually, I've known this for about the last couple of weeks or so, but Jillian has herself a little bitty blog on People.com, People Magazine, of course, and I want to give her a quick plug here before we begin, TVWatch.People.com, and once you're there, go to the Bachelorette's blog, and you can't miss it, and she is a, like Chris Harrison, that we'll talk about in a bit here, really good writer, very articulate, very funny. And finally this week, let's go ahead and cut to the chase, you know, Wes at last, great God Almighty, we are Wes free at last. And she pointed, yahoo, let's party. And she pointed this out, and she said, and this is kind of scary, guys, she said she read all 300 plus comments in her blog section, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I might be able to write her, and I might be able to point out our show. And it's like, I'm Charlie Brown, and she's the little redhead girl. What am I going to do? You know, so, but we'll talk about that more later, you know. But just, one person said, you know, you're in a horror movie, and we're going, he's behind you, you know. And, you know, and finally this week, capital duh, she finally realized what this idiot was doing to her, and that he wasn't out to have any kind of relationship at all, I beg your pardon. And, you know, oh my God, it's like, you know, finally, you know. So, do go to her blog. She's actually written several of them, and I'm going to have to go and backtrack, because, you know, girls, I'm so in love. So, it's a very well-written blog. So, Jillian, if you, by slim 0.1% chance you're listening, well done. And we were talking earlier this morning before we got started. Well, Dina and I were, and Christopher Harrison has himself not only a Twitter feed now, but he's also got himself a Facebook deal put together by his wife, Gwen, who I think Chris said he was only 5 years behind the times, and he had his wife do it for him. And he's on Facebook now. So you guys out there that do the booky face kind of thing, do a search on Chris Harrison, and I think you'll be very, very impressed. As a matter of fact, you know, like I said earlier, I've been in TV for 25 years. little trivia for you guys here. Chris started out as a sports guy for a local station in, I can't remember the name of it right now, and me being the idiot this week, I don't happen to have the market. I think it's where the Murrow building. Do you guys remember Oklahoma, I think it was?
I believe that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and he worked in sports and also did news, and that story, you know, he had a chance to kind of step out from his sports guy mode and covered that, and he said that's one of the things that inspired him to, you know, do the best he can at any job he does, whether it be celebrity news or whatever. And it's just a really fascinating, it's a nice website. You get to know more about Chris, whom I think is one of the nicest guys in the biz, so check that out. And have we done enough plugging for one show, guys?
I think so. I think Chris owes you some money.
Yeah, and I'm not going to ask Jilly for any money because, because I sure want her to go to my class reunion next year. But, again, we'll talk about that. By the way, if you guys missed last week's show, about 30 minutes into the show, an incredibly dramatic, shocking moment, so check that out. But, anyway, let's get to Spain here. Kipton, the first man out of the dugout. Girls, what about that? Like I said, you're going to have to do all the heavy lifting this week, so tell me what you thought about Kipton and Jillian.
I think that Jillian is still more concerned whether she is good enough for Kipton than the other way around. She seems to say that in almost every episode, and I think she needs to think more highly of herself. She seemed to have a little insecurities when it comes to Kipton, and I'm not sure that could make for a good relationship, so she's still saying that. What was the first thing they did? I think they learned to flamenco. Is that what they did?
Right. Got suited up. And I think he had a little trouble getting his pants on, didn't he? They were a little snug.
A little tight, yeah. I'm not sure babies are in their future now.
She made reference to that and the fact that his package, I don't know.
Boys. I think she's
boys.
She's concerned about his boys there in his pants.
Not going to go there. I will tell you all that I don't think we'll be looking or seeing Kipton on the next season of Dancing with the Stars. I'll put it that
way. No. Oh, that was very awkward, wasn't it? But you have to admire the fact that he did it. I mean, he was red-faced, but he really was a good sport about it. He gave it a shot, and I think that went a long way with Jillian, that he was willing to make a fool out of himself for her. Don't you think, Lisa?
I agree, as he did on the moped.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
So I'm in good company here. I mean, I make a fool out of myself on this show every week here. So anyway, Jillian, just here I go again. If you're keeping score at home, this is Jillian over the moon. Jeffrey, Jillian over the moon compliment number one. She looked so cute with a little, you know, hair done up, you know, Madonna like Isla Bonita kind of thing, you know. And, you know, just has a way with steps like we found out in the first couple of episodes when they did that country and western bar kind of thing. So anyway, but the biggest revelation of this date to me, and just, again, makes me think of her as such a class act, you know, said she wasn't ready to kind of do the fantasy suite thing, you know, so they did the cuddling thing, and, you know, cuddling is not a bad thing.
I love some cuddling. I'm sure that he would have been willing to do more than the cuddling, but...
Yeah, I think so.
But, yeah,
I think we've established that with all men.
That's true. Jeffrey, y'all are dogs.
Yeah, but all in all, do you think it was a good date? Do you think it increased him, his potential in her eyes as far as maybe getting the final rose?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think the conversation they had about the proposal, and he said, I think a marriage proposal would be a long way off.
Far off.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I remember that now. And I was thinking, oh, my God, she's going to pick Wes and Kipton's going to go home. You know, I was so scared to death. I was scared to death. And it was like, I can just see it now. She's going to keep this Austin idiot around for another week, you know. But he got lucky. He got really lucky. And also, did you see the expression on her face when he was telling her all this stuff? And I'm thinking, you know, maybe it kind of broke her heart a little bit. I don't know. I mean, girls, what about that?
Yeah, I think her face really fell. And she said, really? Well, I think she said, I think an engagement anyway on the television show would be at least a fun thing to do. And I'm wondering, do you think she gets like a bonus check if she gets a proposal on air, whether she accepts it or not?
God.
Seriously.
And so NFL Super Bowl champions, you know, you're going to get a bonus and you're going to go to Disney World. Yeah, you know. I don't know about their girls, but just that's an interesting thought. That's an interesting thought. But speaking of you know, if I were in Julia's shoes and who would get my final rose, I'm going to go ahead and say it here. You know, nothing against Ed, who I love, but Reed, man, I'm telling you, this guy has got it going on. Again, second week, maybe the third week in a row, my favorite date. I mean, these guys just have chemistry with a capital C.
Yeah, Reed has really, you know, Lisa and I all compete in everything, and Lisa wants Kipton to win, and I want Ed to win from the first episode, but this Reed guy is really pulling up from the back, I think. I'm starting to get into his goofiness and his awkward nature, and I just want to see that he could be step up and be a man when needed. I'm not sure that he's shown that he can take control, and I really think Jillian has given clues that she wants a man to be in control, don't you?
I think that Reed is the front runner right now, so I guess I'm going to disagree with Dina. I think that I think they had a great date. I think she really enjoyed herself when they were, you know, picking the cheese in the all the different stores, and they were trying to speak the language. You know, neither one of them could figure out what they were trying to say and what they were actually saying. And I think she just had a really good time with Reed.
Yeah, I think he said he had a soy grande. Was about
yeah. Yeah, right, yeah.
Not sure what that means exactly.
He I think was that, large.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy in the, I guess that was a deli, I don't know what you call that in Spain, a deli or whatever. He was totally confused about what was going on. I'd say they don't get the bachelorette in Spain.
But again, we have a possible quirk in the system here, and this is an interesting topic to discuss here. Reed said he had a jealous bone, as Patty Loveless would warble, and he wonders if she's going to spend the night with other guys. And this leads to an interesting thought on my part. You know, maybe it comes from me doing a little bit of acting here and there, but, you know, I can see where it's fantasy and it's reality, and in this case, it's kind of a heightened sense of reality, and yeah, it would be kind of tough to see her kissing other guys, but, you know, that's the point of the show. I don't think I would be jealous. You know, of course, you know, I've never been in this situation, you know, but it's an interesting thought, but to me, I think I would be cool with it, you know, because like I said earlier, you gotta date a variety of people, you gotta, you know, see where you're coming from, see what you want out of life, because you're talking about somebody you want to spend the rest of your life with, and you want to sit on the back porch with, and about 40 to 50 years and just reminiscing about this madness that we did on television, you know, and that's my perspective on it. But I'm wondering if Reed might have possibly, you know, he's a favorite of mine too, let me get that out of the way, my favorite out of all of them so far left over. So I'm wondering if Reed may have shot himself in the foot. Girls, what do you think?
I have to disagree. I think that that's only going to show Jillian that he really cares about her, and you know, it's only natural if you care about somebody, you don't want them to be with somebody else.
Yeah, I think the jealousy thing, he was jealous just enough. It wasn't like, I forbid you to do this like Crazy Dave might have done or whatever if he was still around. It was just enough jealousy to show that he cares. And he's really the first one to show that, I think.
Exactly. I think that he scored points there. But I think Ed may have alluded to the same thing while they were talking, if I'm not mistaken. I think he said something about, you know, that he had lost precious time since he had left the show, that the other guys, you know, may be a little ahead of him. And I don't know. I mean, I just think that, back to Reed, I think that the comment that he made only scored points with her.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because y'all just made me think of a very personal memory I will share here, and it'll kind of make me eat my words that I said just a few moments ago. I don't think there's a guy who doesn't have a jealous bone in his body, and I'll tell you all, this is a very quick Cliff Notes version of the story here, but I once dated this lovely girl about 10 years ago, and the thing that brought us together, and it's the silliest thing, we were both fans of the Monkees. Of course, you know, everybody remembers Mickey, Davey, Peter, and Michael, and we had a chance to go see Peter Tork in Atlanta. He was doing kind of an acoustic gig with his buddy James Lee Stanley. Oh, there's a plug for you guys. And after the first set or something, Peter said, you know, anybody wants to come up and say hi or sign autographs, you know, have him sign autographs or whatever. And he was just a heck of a nice guy. But he's also kind of a, you know, he's still got that free love thing kind of going on. And my girlfriend at the time got kissed by Peter Torch, and here I am standing watching this moment, you know, and all of a sudden it was like, you know, the sound effects in my head start going up, and we kind of debated about this on the cab on the way back to the hotel, and it's kind of like, you know, and she says, you're jealous, aren't you? And I said, well, not much. And so I've been there, I know, but in a way, I think she found that endearing, and it just made me look sweeter in her eyes. I don't know. It wasn't like I had my arms folded up and I'm going, you know, you're not going to kiss a monkey again. You know, it was not. It wasn't that silly, but just I kind of see where you're coming from. So, You know, I guess it's not a bad thing as long as you don't get carried away with it and become the male equivalent of Glenn Close.
Yeah, I don't think Jillian would let somebody control her like that, but I think she wants somebody to kind of wear the pants in the relationship, at least for a little while. I think she's just been in control of her own life for so long, she just wants to kind of relax and let somebody else be in control. And I'm curious whether or not Reed can do that, but that little show of jealousy may indicate that he can.
Well, didn't she say that Kipton was too nice? She was afraid that he was too nice.
Yeah. So. She wants a bad boy, which could explain Wes being around for so long.
Yeah, because there's no other reason.
Well, Jilly, if you're out there listening, and my best Dustin Hoffman from Rain Man, I'm a most excellent driver. Yeah, yeah. I can drive this relationship. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, but let's move on here. The other big fave here, Ed, exclamation point 20,000 times, as Dino told me last week in an email. Good date. You know, I mean, it was catch-up time. It was kind of like, you know, making up for lost time going on here. And I thought, well, for the most part, I thought he did very well, you know. And they were kind of making out in the fountain. And, by the way, Jilly compliment number two. She looked so cute in those little tan shorts and the white button-up shirt. So romantic. I love fountains. You know, I don't know if it's a guy kind of thing to admit, but just it was one of the sweetest moments of the show for me. And, well, it was fantasy sweet time, you know, first out of the three here. But they, it was cute. They kind of, you know, it was the cuddling thing, maybe a little heavy petting mixed in, I don't know. But, girls, do you think Ed did well coming out of the bullpen? Silly term, but, you know, or coming to his senses, I should say. You know, I mean, he never should have left in the first place, my God. But what about Ed and Jilly this week?
Well, I'm definitely, as far as physical attraction, Ed is the man, as far as I'm concerned. He's just very strong and controlling, and I think Jillian finds that attractive. I have to say, even though I like for Ed to win, but I have to say that we really don't know much about him. I really, even when they talk, he doesn't reveal too much. He's very quiet.
Very quiet.
Yeah, very man of very few words, and who knows? You know, I just worry about what secrets he has, what's in the closet there, what's... We don't know his family, and that's really important. I mean, it's just, I could see her reservations with Ed, you know, and I'm hoping maybe they'll have a chance to get to know each other better before the season's over.
Even when she asked him about, you know, his family, what would it have been like, he was very vague. I mean, you still didn't learn that much about his family, even when she asked him, you know, point blank. So I agree with you, Dina. There's still a lot of mystery.
Yeah, he's a mystery man.
To Ed.
Okay, I will reveal the news right here. Why you're not getting much information from Ed? Because he's a member of the mob. That's it, man. It's a Godfather thing. Jilly, run very, very fast, please do. But no, I'm kidding, of course. Girls, we talked about, have we ever talked about the shy guy thing here? Is shy kind of cool in your eyes? I mean, what about that?
I think shy to a certain extent can be appealing. I'm not sure it's what Jillian's looking for. And once again, I think she's just looking for that strong, take-charged guy. And Ed seems very soft-spoken and intelligent and thoughtful. You could look at it that way, but I still just feel like he's holding back. But who knows what went on in the fantasy suite, what conversations they had, what she learned about him. So she's privy to that we don't know. But I'm not sure Ed is shy. I think he's more just cautious, maybe, and reserved.
And probably very, very smart, because he knows there's cameras going on. He may be the smartest one out of all the guys that I've seen this season, because doggone it, you know, as much as I love to goof off, you know, my ham and all that, you know, when it comes to something where I want some intimacy, I want to be alone with somebody, and I want to, you know, talk to them and all that, I'm going to say, guys, you know, if we can split with the cameras and the lights and stuff, please do, because one thing I love about Jillian is that she's a talker. She is so great at communication, and I still think that if she wants it after this show, she would have a terrific career in front of the camera. She's just whip smart and articulate, and of course, hey, not bad to look at, of course, but she's just, I just love her getting to know people kind of attitude, and it's a wonderful thing. So I think you're right, and oh boy, this was like the Beatles, or Waiting for West was kind of like, it must have been the same way for kids back in the day waiting for the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. Yeah, you know, it's cool to see Ed, and it's cool to see Kipton, and it's cool to see Reed and everything. You know, we had the little, I think it was Kipton that kept having the moped problems and stuff like that, you know. It was kind of like that scene in the first Austin Powers movie where Austin's trying to get that moon buggy, you know, to go his way, and he kept going, you know, reverse forward, reverse forward, you know. So, I had to point that out. We nearly forgot to talk about that, so I thought that was really cute. But Wes, and oh my God, you know, it was around 8:30 or so Central Standard Time before we even appeared in this episode, and I'm shaking my head at this. Your notes here. Wes, a song off his second album, was number one in Chihuahua, Mexico. So he's comfortable with Spain. All I can say is, way to go, Chihuahua, Mexico.
Yeah, I think that's two different continents, even.
It sounds like it. I wonder, I've never heard of such a thing. I've never heard of Chihuahua, Mexico, anyway.
Oh, really?
Anyway, yeah, I've heard of the dog, but I haven't heard of the city.
It has nothing to do with Spain, I can tell you that.
It's bizarre, you know, and just, guys, I just sensed doom, and thank God doom, from the moment they started. I mean, he really, really shot himself in the foot last week. I mean, Chili still had a lot of questions, you know, and they alluded to this in the promo, which, you know, I got to see 78,000 times via the gig last week, but I just thought, you know, this was awkward from the get-go, and oh, girls, go ahead and pick it up from here. I mean, this was just oh my God, you know, talking about a bird with no foot and then spilling his drink. Oh, good God.
I'll say he didn't only shoot himself in the foot, apparently somebody shot the bird in the foot. He was so fascinated with what that was about.
Watch and shoot the birdie. Anyway, boy, he did that, you know, and oh my, it's just thank God Jillian got smart, and it's not that she's never been smart, she just had the wall pulled over her eyes, you know. It was kind of like a sheep in wolf's clothing or something to that effect. You guys know what I'm trying to say. But boy, this dinner was just as if this guy didn't annoy us already. I mean, he had her crying, and you know, one thing I can't stand is to see a woman cry, and on top of that, while the other guys were just perfect gentlemen about the fantasy suite deal, you know, he's going, hey, baby, I think we ought a fantasy suite, and I'll send you another little song.
Yeah.
And Jillian said, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said, I think we should do this. And I'm sure Wes would have gone through with it, and it would have meant nothing to him. And I've got to give it to Jillian. She just, it took her too long to see the truth, but I think she was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt because he had the whole package that she was interested in, so she just kept trying to see what she wanted to see. But the first clue that he was disgusting was when he stuck his fingers in his mouth to pull some food out, and then he actually ate the food off his fingers.
No. Like I said earlier, you know, I didn't have time to review this, and I was kind of distracted by other things at the time the episode was on. You know, Jilly, I'm so sorry. But anyway.
I mean, if you have to pick your teeth and you don't have a toothpick, don't eat what you pick out. It's disgusting. Then he also said he wasn't willing. You know, she said, would you be willing to relocate if we got together? And he said, you mean move from Austin? You know, he wasn't willing to do any to make any compromises with her. He said it was all about numero uno. Everything he said was almost as if he wanted her to say, get out of here. It was like he was trying to, either he's very stupid, which is quite a possibility, or he wanted to go. He was trying to get her to get him out of there. But, oh, it was so awkward.
I'll say this. You know, I have not seen the last season of The Bachelor, and everybody, it was all but a pencil-thin mustache as far as Jason Mesnick was concerned. But let me tell you guys, Jason Mesnick is a Cub Scout compared to this guy.
I was going to say, Jason owes him some money, I think, for getting the focus off of him. Because you're right, he makes Jason look like a hero now.
I'm surprised that Jason hasn't posted just a one-word post in his Twitter feed. You know, because that's the way I feel. I mean, you know, and here's an interesting thought, you guys. I mean, if Wes is setting himself to be a bad boy and is doing all this kind of, you know, I'm acting here, you know, it was all a joke, blah, blah, blah. I just did that to kind of play the bad guy in this deal. I'm going to say bad freaking career move, dude. You know, I think you've just cost yourself a bunch of record sales.
Absolutely. I don't know who's advising him, but, you know, they say there's no such thing as bad publicity, but in his case, I think there is.
I disagree.
It's just so sad, you know, but just let's just go ahead to the big, big moment, and we all know what it is, but hey, it's going to give me a chance to brag about, and Dina, you were kidding me about this, Jillian in that little black dress. Oh my goodness. I saw the promo like 72,000 times at work over the weekend, but I don't think I was prepared for when she was coming up those steps. My God, what a striking woman this is. Not just beauty-wise, but just here I go again, like silly love songs and Paul McCartney. Here I go again. But it's like, oh man, oh, she looks so pretty. And what made it even more special this week, Christopher missed the plane or something, you know? I mean, I did find out that, you know, Chris does Hollywood 411 on TV Guide Channel. I'm sure he has a few other things going on outside ABC and stuff like that, and he just did not have it in the cards to make it to Spain this week. And Chris, I'm telling you, we missed you, but boy, Jillian acquitted herself very, very nicely. Again, TV career if she wants it after this whole deal is done.
Yeah, I wondered if you had known why Chris wasn't there, but I thought she handled it really well.
Yes, she did, you know, and let's just go ahead and, oh boy, I just love the subtitles, you know, the whispering and stuff like that, where Wes and Kipton were kind of getting into it, and Wes goes, it ain't me, dude, you know.
He said, congratulations, dude. And he said, it might be you. He said, oh, no, it ain't.
And he just knew the jig was up, you know, like we talked about last week. And I, you know, with, oh gosh, I think it was, who's the cute twin that we were talking about? I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name. Michael, yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, Michael knew his time was up, and Wes, you know, to his, the one thing we can give him credit for, you know, he knew his time was up, but did he handle it in a classy way? No, 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 no. You know, the obligatory limo ride thing that's become a standard of this show when we get this deep into the process, you know, talking about the band, talking about his radio tour, and I love this. He is obviously drunk, according to your notes. You think? Anyway.
Yeah.
And says he's going to party in Spain, and, you know, did he actually put down the other guys? Oh, come on.
Yeah, he actually said, how's somebody going to lose to Reed? He's a, and I don't like this word, it's not politically correct, but to quote Wes, he said, that boy's a retard.
No.
Those boys, yes, he did.
Oh, man.
He said, those other boys couldn't get a nibble from the women in Texas. And I'm the first guy in Bachelorette history to make it to the Final Four with a girlfriend. So,
I mean, I'm leaving this silence in. You know, usually I, you know, I, being in media and everything, you know, I cut things down and there's little groups that you guys will never ever hear, but I had to leave that in just make a point, because I just, like I said, if he's doing this, you know, if he's acting or whatever, or trying to, you know, put on the dog for the camera, bad move. I mean, it's just, even though I just heard this from a distance, or I was distracted and everything, I saw what was going on. I kind of, you know, and I was, you know, sneer, sneer, sneer in front of the TV, you know, even though I didn't really catch what he was saying or whatever. I was thinking I was going to have the opportunity to do so later, but oh, man, man. But that said, next week we have another regular episode. We're going to Hawaii. We got the final three left. And then after that, the next Monday, it'll be The Bachelorette, The Men Tell All. And then after that, we have a two-night finale. We have the season finale on Monday. I think it's July 27th. And then the 28th, we have The Bachelorette after the final rose. And guys, I'm telling you, this show continues to get bigger and bigger ratings every week. I remember when this show first started, they barely, ABC rather, did not promote this. You know, they were just kind of treating it like another summer show. And now it probably has as big an audience as Big Brother. So there you go.
Yeah, I think you're right. I just hope that when they had the Men Tell All episode that all the guys just beat the crap out of Wes. He's got to come back, right?
And they're going to have 2 hours to do it, because I can remember when these deals were only like an hour long, and there's so much material. That's one thing I love about the format of the show that they're doing right now. It's 2 hours every week, so you count up all the episodes, and it's like you've almost got like a full season, like you would say something like an American Idol or Lost or something like that. And it'll be interesting if the show ever goes into syndication or whatever, if they'll break it up. I'm sure they'll have to break it up into hour-long segments, but I am so looking forward to the Men Tell All. And by the way, I just thought of something funny. Do you think that Tanner P. fainted when he saw that cutaway of Jillian's feet when her and Wes were about, not Wes, I beg your pardon, you know, oh, she was smart enough not to go that far with him, but it was Ed. Yeah, they were getting ready, and Jillian had her shoes off, and I could just picture Tanner P. going, oh, and then fainting in front of the TV, you know. So.
No doubt, probably so. I'm sure his face was right up to the screen, or he DVR'd it and rewound it and played it, rewound it and played it.
Exactly. Repeat, 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 you know. I'm actually looking forward to seeing him on the reunion show. I really became endeared with him toward the latter half of his stay. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I think, Lisa, you were getting kind of sweet on Tanner P. there at the end, weren't you?
Well, yeah, a little bit, but I think...
Just a little bit?
Just a tad.
Come on, Lisa.
I think we're going to have some drama out of Crazy Dave before the show's over.
Oh, yeah, if they all come back. Is it all or like just the final 10 that comes back? I wonder.
Oh, it's everybody. It'll be everybody except the final two because it's the week before the finale, and we'll find out the missing person. We'll find out the missing person this coming week that will be a part of that special. But I just had a wonderful thought. I wonder if Crazy Dave would like to go out and open for Wes on tour. I would love to see that. I would pay money to see that. You know, he'd have his little drink in his hand, and he'd be doing a stand-up comedy routine.
There you go. Or maybe Crazy Dave and Juan will have a little. Dog fight.
I forgot about Juan. The Juan drama.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
There's bound to be a punch thrown here or there on that Men Tell All, I would think.
Well, I'll tell you what. I am so looking forward to these next four episodes, and we're going to be along for the ride. We're going to continue to follow the festivities here on The Culture of Pop, a subsidiary, I guess you could say, of the DVDmarquee.com. And girls, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. You guys are such a delight.
Thank you for having us, Jeffrey. We always have fun.
Lisa, great job once again, girl.
Thank you. Had fun.
And by the way, I don't know if we're going to get a chance to record it after we talk here, but Dina and Lisa are most likely, fingers crossed, going to be back with me for another segment on The Culture of Pop, talking about the Michael Jackson Memorial, a very emotional memorial service for Michael at Staples Center in Los Angeles the other day. Everybody's still talking about it. It was just marvelous, and you can find other episodes of The Culture of Pop here on the website. If you want to subscribe, don't forget to go to the RSS and iTunes banners on the website, and also you can check out my goodness, would you guys believe I am on the verge of 80 episodes of the DVD Marquee?
Congratulations. We know how much work goes into that.
Thank you. You don't know the half of it, girls, but just I've just posted a new episode 79. We are one episode away from episode 80, and I've done the show for 3 years. Lots of archives. You can hear my embarrassing first moments, you know, if you go down deep and everything, and you'll get to hear the growth, and you get to hear the passion of a guy who really loves film, music, and of course pop culture. As you can hear, by the way, we've dissected this episode of television that you just heard here. So anyway, folks, I thank you so much for your time, and for my good buddies Dina and Lisa from Celebrity Side Dish Podcast and also thebeautybroads.com. I'm Jeffrey Rosato for The Culture of Pop and thedvdmarquee.com. Until we meet again, amigos. And as always, Chili, call me. Yeah, right. I've never been to Spain, but I got a lot of music. Say the ladies are insane there, and they sure know how to use it. They don't abuse it, never gonna lose it. I can't refuse it. Here we go, in three.
Wait, I'm sorry. Lisa didn't have her notes.
That's all right.
All kinds of notes. I just don't know which one.
She's drunk.
Outtake. Anyway.
Just kidding. We just started drinking. We're not drunk.
Hey, man, I'll go ahead and get some Chardonnay and we'll really make this fun.